Welcome to The Outdoor Citizen. Your host today, Marty Jones. And as always, we want to thank Don Richmond for the music that you're hearing. And we want to thank Daniel Boyce for the bird songs that you're hearing. Our guest today is Sebastian Campos. Welcome, Sebastian, and thanks for joining us on The Outdoor Citizen.
Thank you so much for having me, guys.
So give us a little bit about your background, Sebastian.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I spent the first few years of my life there in San Luis. All of my family, for generations, they've been based out of San Luis and Abiquiu and the Valley in general. So I kind of grew up going over La Vida Pass in between Denver and San Luis, and I grew up on those drives. I grew up here during the summers and the wild conversations having with uncles. You know, it's a beautiful place and feels like home. And I guess since then, I went to college up in the Pacific Northwest. And
where did you go?
I went to Gonzaga University.
Oh, okay.
But I want to thank you guys, especially with the Outdoor Citizen, the Valley Pod, Outdoor Citizen. You guys made me feel like I was at home even when I was 1,000 miles away. And just like hearing the different stuff going down in the Valley, it was all super special. And I felt like I was a part of it all, even though I was in Washington State. So.
That's one of the really good things that technology has been able to bring, is a sense of community even when you're not immediately in the physical vicinity.
Absolutely. I think with like social media, I've been able to follow like the People's Market over in San Luis, Dr. Devon Pena, been able to follow, you know, the Alamosa Citizen for one, you know, the San Luis Valley Local Foods Coalition, all of this great stuff happening in the Valley. I feel like there's no better time in the present to be, you know, from the Valley, in the Valley, and like for the Valley. So I dig it.
That's good. And we're glad you were able to come down because you're currently in Colorado Springs. Is that correct?
Yeah, Marty. So, I mean, after Gonzaga, I commissioned as a intelligence officer in the Army. So I'm stationed there at Fort Carson, got the blessing to come down and do this podcast that I wouldn't miss for the world. So again, thank you for having me.
Yes, you're welcome. And your background, one of the reasons we asked you to join us is because you are quite the athlete.
I mean, I grew up in the tradition of the San Luis Valley. You know, we're all fighters, we're all runners. Especially my uncles, they're all fighters. So, I mean, I grew up as a wrestler since I was like 5 years old. And I've been running since high school. And then, again, just with the Alamosa Citizen, posting these races, posting all the events going down, I feel like every break I had from college, I would come home, run a race, go back to school, train, and come back and run some more races. So it's beautiful.
So what races have you been doing down here?
Yeah, so I mean, I guess it started 2018, Stations of the Cross 10K. Mayor Tiffany Gallegos and the town manager there, Susan Sanderford in San Luis, they started the Stations of the Cross 10K. That was my really first, I just graduated high school. So I won the first year, came back the next year, won that. And then I had a couple years of Army training. But then I came back and did the Rio Trio. It was my first like ever triathlon. I had bought a kayak 2 weeks beforehand, learned how to row, and then I'd never really learned how to bike before. So I also crashed my bike right before the race.
Ooh.
And then I think the next year I did the Rio Frio. So that stuff that John Reeser, you know, started there is super special, and I hope that it continues.
It will.
Yeah.
I can assure you that it will. The new outdoor rec supervisor at the Alamosa Family Rec Center is already making plans for not just the Rio Frio, but next year's Rio Trio.
That's so special. Yeah, I saw the registration drop on Facebook, so I'm excited to get back and do the Rio Frio this year.
Yeah, good. Let's hope that we have snow and ice, that it's really Frio,
right,
on the Rio, so that it's cold enough you can actually do the run on the surface of the river instead of on the levee.
Right. We did the Blanca Vista Pond last year, I want to say, and I had like made the mistake of wearing some trail runners. It wasn't necessarily, I had like sure footing, but it was a little slower, so I hope to drop some time this year either way.
Yeah. Cool. Well, you told me before that you are known as the biker or the bicyclist on Fort Carson.
Oh, for sure.
So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, so I broke my leg in March, and I was looking for a way to get back into fitness, get back into building an endurance base. So biking is just a perfect mode of transportation. I live 10 miles away from Fort Carson, so I'm able to like commute from downtown Colorado Springs to Fort Carson every day with my obnoxious blue Surly bike. And I think it's a beautiful thing.
It's not obnoxious.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah. So is the route that you take safe for cyclists?
You know, the majority, like the bike infrastructure in Colorado Springs is getting a lot better, but there is an industrial part. I do take a little bit of an exchange way. But they have the really cool Fountain Creek Trail that I'm able to take for a good portion of it. And then on Fort Carson as well, they have good bike lanes. So that's a blessing.
Okay, that's good. Well, just stay safe. Continue to stay safe. No more broken legs, okay?
No more broken legs. That was from jiu-jitsu, so.
Oh. In December, I fractured my kneecap on a bike accident. So I know what it's like to really want to be out there riding and not be able to do that.
Yeah, I saw you ride over this morning. I was at Milagros getting a little cup of coffee and some snacks for you guys, and I saw you biking on over. That was really cool.
Yeah, it's a good way to get around town. So what do you have coming up in the near future?
Absolutely. So, I mean, I had the Colorado Springs half marathon this last weekend. Finished top six in that. I think second in my age group.
Excellent.
This next weekend, I'm doing a little 34-mile run with one of my lieutenant friends on the Colorado Trail, going from Kenosha Pass to Breckenridge. And then the next weekend, I'm doing a little gravel bike race in Pueblo called Grassroots Gravel. It's a really cool local event that started. They normally have a bigger race that weekend, but I think they're having one in Trinidad the same weekend. So it's Grassroots Gravel. If you haven't signed up, look at it on Instagram. I highly recommend. And then have a triathlon the day after. So we'll see if I can walk.
And if that's not enough, can you tell us a little bit about what you just finished doing not too long ago?
Yeah, so I mean, for my 23rd birthday, I went to Mexico and climbed the tallest mountain in Mexico, El Pico de Orizaba. It's just outside of Tlachichuca in Puebla. It's 18,495 feet. And to train, I went to Blanca. I went up Blanca a couple of times, and it's 14,000 feet. But I don't know. I was not unprepared for it. But I was pretty unprepared for it. Luckily, I had a good guide, Christian, with Three Summits Adventure there in Puebla. You know, I stayed in Mexico City. It was like the week of Mexican Independence Day. So I went and I hung out in like this densely populated area. You know, Mexico City has 23 million people in its like surrounding areas. And a majority were like in the town center. So that was overstimulating. But I was able to contrast that with this pure mountain experience that was unlike anything I've ever done before.
So what is that mountain like? I mean, you mentioned climbing Blanca, but that much farther south, is the mountain really dry? Or is there snow? How vegetated is it? Give us a physical description.
Absolutely. So, I mean, we're so blessed to have the Sangre de Cristo so close by and to be in this, like, this beautiful state of Colorado. El Pico de Orizaba is just this like monolith. It's all alone. It's a volcano. So it has like multiple ecosystems within the national park that Mexico has like built there. It has a giant glacier, the Jamapa Glacier, which is more than a third of the route. There's a lot of like just loose rock, and I want to say the first mile was loose rock. The second mile was more of like a rock problem they called the labyrinth. And then the third mile was just pure ascent of a glacier. And, you know, I had some outdoor adventures in Washington, and nothing I've done has come close to that experience. And I think it was cool to have someone as experienced as my guide up on that mountain.
So were you wearing crampons, and did you have an ice axe?
I did.
That hopefully you didn't have to use to self-arrest or anything?
I didn't have to, but it was like 4:30 in the morning. It was dark on the mountain. I was shaking from getting all sweaty going up this like super steep ascent because we slept at 14,000 feet. So like that's what we have here. That's like the peak of what we have. And the fact that we went up another 4,500 feet was insane. So like I was like all sweaty and shaking, and my mountain guide was pretending to be all like brave. And he was like, Sebastian, put on your crampons. And I was just like sitting there at the base of the glacier. So we threw those on, hit switchback after switchback after switchback. It took us about 2 hours to get up the glacier. And on the way down, it took us like 20 minutes. And I smoked the quads. And like the rest of the hike down, I was like walking on Bambi legs. But it was such a good thing. Such a good experience.
So why did you choose that as your 23rd birthday experience?
Yeah. So, I mean, it goes back. I mean, I broke my leg March 7th. And then I sat down. I planned out a summer of adventure. I planned out a summer of training. And I said, I have to do something crazy. I have to celebrate like the ability to do stuff. So I was thinking about Peru. I've been to Peru a couple times, once. And I just kind of was looking at big mountains around town, big mountains on this side of the hemisphere. And I honed in on Orizaba. I don't know what it called me there. I wanted to go to Mexico. I wanted to practice the Spanish. And I'm happy I did. It was just like, I didn't spend too much money either, which is good for a post-college guy.
Yeah, excellent. So tell us a little bit about what you do at Fort Carson. If you're in intelligence, you can't tell us too much, but you know, just a little bit. And how do you manage to balance your work life, your military life, with all these fabulous outdoor adventures?
Yeah, so I mean, at Gonzaga University, I think it started there. I had just a blessing to have great teachers, great professors, great instructors. I worked with Gonzaga Outdoors. I was a trip leader for Gonzaga Outdoors, so shout out to them. And then I was able to kind of like balance that with the ROTC course load. So I went in with like a full 4-year scholarship. So I think that's when I kind of learned how to balance all of my life endeavors. But the coolest thing for me is that I get paid to work out. We have to work out every morning. Like this morning, we just took a fitness test. And then it's just like, I know I went into it thinking that I'd be more of like a James Bond, but really I just sit at a desk and I have a great team. I've grown up a lot since I've gone to Fort Carson, but I had the choice of my first job and my first location. And I wanted to just be home close to Denver, close to the valley. So, you know, Fort Carson's a good middle ground. I'm an hour from South Denver where my grandparents are. I'm 2 hours from the valley. So I kind of oscillate between the both on the weekends. And then I run every morning, lift in the afternoons. It's a beautiful thing. It's like a monastic experience, I guess.
Yeah, well, you must be highly focused and very well organized to be able to do all of this.
Just caffeinated.
Nah, I don't. I'm not doubting that you're caffeinated, but you have to. Caffeine alone will not get you through the organization that's required to continue to do the marathons, the triathlons, and so. Oh, so you mentioned you have a triathlon coming up.
I'm not a good swimmer, so I have to learn how to swim beforehand. But it's in Commerce City up in Denver, and it'll be my first triathlon. I guess the Rio Trio.
Yeah, but that's it's a really unusual triathlon. Right. I'm not familiar with very many others like that. So do you know for this upcoming triathlon, is the swim going to be an outdoor swim?
It is. So it's going to be in like a swimming pool. It's like a 200-yard snaking between the different lanes.
Okay.
So it's not too far. So I might live, but.
Yeah. So, but it, so it's not a lake or anything of that sort.
No.
Yeah. Well, if you like that, I have a recommendation for you to consider. And that is, are you familiar with the Xterra series of triathlons?
I'm not. No.
So this is right up your alley because it involves running and biking in the mountains and swimming in like a mountain reservoir or something.
That's beautiful.
So look it up, Xterra triathlons.
Okay.
Mountain bike, mountain run, and swimming at higher elevations.
Sounds like a hoot.
Yes. If you really get interested, I can put you in touch with somebody who's been doing those for a few years.
Well, thank you. Yeah, that'd be great.
So, Sebastian, I want to thank you for coming on and being a guest, sharing all the wonderful things that you've been doing. being outside is an important part of your life. And I wonder, is there anything that you can tell us or share with our listeners that motivates you to continue doing these outdoor activities?
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess it goes back to not taking anything for granted. I really believe that movement is medicine, and that doing something every day is just like, it's good for the soul. It doesn't have to be, you know, an insane run or like a back-breaking bike ride, but it could just be something as simple as just like a simple walk around the park, which I really enjoy. So, you know, I grew up going over Livia to Pass, having Mount Blanca stare at me. And I think growing up in an environment in the high desert here in San Luis Valley, it's a cool thing that inspires me to get outside more. And, you know, breaking the leg, it is something that I took for granted, that activity. So I think going forward, I've kind of dedicated my life to getting outside, to move a little more.
Good. And let's hope that there's no more broken bones in your future. But the kinds of things that you do could lead to some incidents like that. Let's just hope that it doesn't occur again.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, Sebastian, thank you very much for joining us here on the Outdoor Citizen. And we wish you well in all your upcoming races and other events. Thanks a lot for being here.
Thank you for having me again, guys.
We'll be right back after a brief message from our sponsors. You're listening to The Outdoor Citizen.
The Adams State Grizzlies are back for another championship season of college athletics. Don't miss a game and get to know our national championship athletes by joining the Grizzly Club today. Hi, I'm Caitlin Smith, athletic director for your Adams State Grizzlies. Your support means everything to the student athletes and all of us with Adams State Athletics. When you become a Grizzly Club member, you're helping Adams State student athletes bring back more championship trophies to the San Luis Valley. Visit ASUGrizzlies.com and join today, or call 719-587-7401.
Welcome back to The Outdoor Citizen. We're going to give you some upcoming outdoor events. Remember, the Valley Calendar is the most comprehensive listing of events from across the San Luis Valley. Be sure to check it out and stay up to date at alamosacitizen.com. Here's a look at some upcoming events in October. On October 7th and 8th, the Great Sand Dunes is hosting free nature haiku and watercolor workshops. Watercolor artist and poet Nancy Arbuthnot will lead nature haiku workshops October 7th from 10 a.m. to noon and October 8th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. These are designed for all ages, though parents should accompany children under 14. Materials are provided at no cost. There is a limit of 12 people for each workshop. Sign up for either or both workshops by calling 719-378-6343. Please leave a message with participant names, ages, and a phone number. We will confirm your reservation. October 7th is SLV Pride's Queer Hike Meetup. The hike will start at around 9 a.m. at the Middle Frisco Trail, just outside Del Norte. The hike will traipse through the changing colors of the aspens, and they are changing. Oh, and the colors are coming on pretty quickly now. Be sure to dress appropriately for the hike, and don't forget the 10 essentials. Contact Al Stone at alsonstone92@gmail.com if you need directions to the trailhead. That's allisonstone92@gmail.com. October 13th through the 15th is the third annual True Penitence Climbing Festival. Starting Friday, the weekend's events include a climbing competition, live music, food, a film screening of the North Faces film series Real Rock 17, and of course plenty of climbing to be had and climbing gear to be won. To sign up and learn more, head to slvclimb.org /fest. October 14th is the 9th annual Splashland Benefit Sprint Triathlon. The race will start and finish at Splashland just off Highway 17. There will be a 3.6-mile run, a 10-mile bike ride, and a 400-yard swim. To register as a solo competitor or as a team, contact Michael at 719-298-0662 or email splashlandllc@hotmail.com. October 20th is the Rio Reels Film Festival to benefit the Rio Grande Headwaters Restoration Project. This year's event will be held at the Sky High Complex in Mata Vista. Ticket prices are $30 in advance, $40 at the door. You can access the tickets by going to the Rio Grande Headwaters Restoration website. And in November, the second annual Veterans Memorial Park 5K 10K race and walk is scheduled for November 4th, 2023. You can find more information on the Valley calendar at alamosacitizen.com. On every episode of The Outdoor Citizen, we will have an outdoor correspondent report from around the San Luis Valley. Here's the latest field report from Chris and Eva Lopez on their hike up to Duck Lake.
It's a Sunday morning walk into Duck Lake to see what we see. It's beautiful, not cold, sun's out. It's gonna be a nice day. Not as many colors yet turning on the aspens. A little still early in the season for that here in the last weekend of September.
Hey Marty, Eva G and I took a hike up to Duck Lake today. It's Sunday morning in the San Juan Wilderness area. 2.5 hours in, we stopped, took photos along the way, but we're gonna hang out here for the rest of the Sunday, have some lunch, and head back down in the afternoon. Beautiful day. This is our field report.
Become an Outdoor Citizen field correspondent. Send a video and an audio file about your adventures across the valley to info@alamosacitizen.com.
Fall is in full swing, but that doesn't mean the outdoor fun stops. While outdoor recreation calls for maybe an additional layer or two, we would love to hear from you, our listeners, as you explore the San Luis Valley's great outdoors this fall and upcoming winter. It's easy to be an outdoor field correspondent. All you have to do is record an audio file on your phone and send it to us. We wouldn't mind seeing a photo or video along with it, too. You can email info@alamosacitizen.com or text the audio file and photo to 720-891-6759 with a brief description and your name for credit. Now we have some conditions and measurements for you to keep you up to date on what it's looking like out there. While there are no official measurements on the snow in the San Juans today, there was quite a dusting overnight that could be seen from the valley floor. In fact, I was out on my bicycle west of town and looking to the San Juans and to the Sangre de Cristos, especially a little bit further north, like around the Crestone area, well, north of the sand dunes in the Sangres and north of Creed in the San Juans. There's definitely snow. The snow system is working its way through southwestern Colorado now, and that could bring a few overnight inches this week. Next up, we have the final fishing reports for the season from our friends who have their eyes on the nearest fishing hole. For the Upper Rio Grande, courtesy of Rio Grande and South Fork Anglers, The whole upper Rio Grande has been fishing excellent, all the way from Del Norte to the Rio Grande Reservoir. Early morning fish have been pooled up in troughs in deeper water due to cooler evening temperatures. However, we are seeing a crazy fluctuation throughout the day in water temperatures. So about by 11 a.m., fish have started pushing more into riffles, fast water cuts, shelves, and oxygenated parts of the river. Fishing has been solid all day. No reason to hit the river super early, as the water temperatures are solid all day, even with the fluctuation. Some patterns to use: stonefly nymphs, caddis pupas, pheasant tails, midges, and balanced leeches are good choices. For dry flies, there's lots of BWOs out and about, and especially on the upper river from Creed to the Rio Grande Reservoir. The brown trout are definitely in pre-spawn behavior. Streamer fishing has been unbelievable. And an update, Continental Reservoir Road is fixed. You can now access it via car. On the Arkansas River, courtesy of ARC Anglers, for the lower basin, Salida to Canyon City, beautiful weather has settled in the valley, with air temperatures ranging from the low 40s to the mid-70s. This is maintaining great water temperatures for the fishery, and it's combining with low late-season flows to make for some happy fish. Dry dropper fishing continues to be very productive in the lower basin, though there are specific times when a single dry fly can be very productive. Expect the best surface feeding in the mornings when the water temperatures are cooler. Red quills are the predominant mayfly hatch, though we are seeing smaller betas and trichos as well. As we progress further into the fall, we expect more betas hatches in the afternoons. At low fall flows, fish are finally able to occupy more and more of the river and feed more efficiently. On the upper San Juan River, courtesy of Duranglers, the San Juan River at Pagosa Springs may be a little discolored with rain, but it's still dry dropperman's world on the upper San Juan, at least for a few more days. Start out with a terrestrial pattern and a smaller dropper. Watch for hatches of BWOs and caddis later in the day. With cooler weather, it may be prudent to fish a full nymph rig or even string up your Euro rod. Here on The Outdoor Citizen, we aim to keep you up to date on all the outdoor news that comes our way. Here's what's going on outside. How warm was September? According to the National Weather Service, it was the second warmest September on record in Alamosa, an average temperature of 56.8 degrees. The National Weather Service outlook for the early part of October is above normal temperatures. The San Juan Nordic Club is calling for volunteers to conduct annual trail work up at Rock Creek this Saturday, October 7th, from 8:45 a.m. to 1 p.m. It's an excuse to get out for a lovely fall day and to assist in maintaining the Nordic trails that are up at the Rock Creek Archery Course. The trail work will consist of vegetation clearing with brush saws and weed whackers, pruning, limbing, and plenty of sawing are on the agenda. There should be tools enough for everyone, but they could use extra brush saws and weed whackers. Please call or text Laura at 719-849-3098 with any questions. Here's hoping to see you out at Rock Creek. The Right Challenge will host a series of fireside chats to meet people where they are. The fireside chats are scheduled for the town of Sawatch on Thursday, October 26th, the town of San Luis on Thursday, November 2nd, and the town of Monte Vista on Thursday, November 9th. We'll get you more information on these as it becomes available. Finally, a Recreation Economies for Rural Communities meeting will be held in Monte Vista at the Sky High Complex on October 18th at 6 p.m. And that ends this episode of the Outdoor Citizen Podcast. We'll be back here in a couple of weeks when our guest will be Chuck Sullivan from the Right Challenge in its upcoming Fireside Chats. We hope you enjoyed listening in. This is Marty Jones. Until next time, we'll see you in the outdoors. And thanks again to Don Richmond for the music and Daniel Boyce for the bird calls.